The call for more mental health treatment has been a steady drumbeat for several years now. Again, following the shooting at the Rochester Hills splash pad last Saturday, shooting nine people there, nine victims, more than a week ago, Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard put out the call for taking this issue seriously for citizens, law enforcement, children, for everyone. It's one of those topics that really needs to be addressed. Michael Bouchard, Oakland County Sheriff, is joining us right now. Good afternoon, Sheriff. We're glad you could join us. Why don't we start by you giving us an update on the victims of the splash pad shooting and where their recoveries stand now?
Yes. Well, thanks for having me on, Marie. Shooting victims, six have been released of the nine, and three are still in the hospital. Obviously, those were the most grievous wounded, and it's still very much a process to determine the extent of what that will mean in terms of long term. So, you know, we're just doing everything we can to support them and praying for them and staying very much in touch on that front. Meanwhile, you know, we're running simultaneously, working feverishly to try to figure out if we can get any window into motive of this individual, what set him into action on that day. And so far, we don't have anything tangible. You know, they did get into his phone, his device, and there's nothing that has been helpful there. And, you know, they're going to continue to work on the devices and the thumb drives and hard drives that we seized from the home, but nothing to report on that front yet.
We understand from you that he lived with his mother and that she had cooperated with police originally. She does have legal representation now, but that law enforcement was told that the shooter had walked around telling people that the government was watching them and that they needed to turn off their cell phones. It appeared or sounded like maybe he had some kind of break with reality. Was there any information that you were able to glean that they were trying to get help for him?
We have not been made aware of any contact or outreach that was made about him or on his behalf or to authorities or to mental health. Again, you know, nothing has come to our attention yet. And I guess that's one of the poignant things that I've said time and time again, as we look at these tragedies across the globe, not just in our area, is that there's always someone that had the ability to see or hear something and it didn't get shared in a robust fashion. It didn't bring in all of the stakeholders or participants. I mean, whether it's this case or Oxford High School, you know, everybody should have been in that meeting with that young man. You know, I mean, you can go time after time going back to Columbine when numerous people saw those two doing things and acting out in a way that they thought was concerning, but it didn't get shared. And so it's a common thread. So in addition to the resources, the mental health treatment, the services, we need to have communication. That's the only way we get in front of these things, is if people are in a position to hear, see, or notice something, if they say something, if they loop everybody in. That's not just law enforcement, it's the mental health community. It's how do we interject in those inflection points? And clearly, every one of these incidents, they have an inflection point that was never addressed.
I was shocked to hear when you said that there are an average of 41 calls a day, mental health crisis intervention team sort of calls that are used, 41 calls a day. But in all fairness, Sheriff, and being a little bit of a devil's advocate here, we hear time and time again that in cases where people have reached out for help, they either were ignored, didn't get the help, or couldn't find the help. So that indicates, at least to me, that that part of the system is broken.
Yeah, I mean, certainly there's an in-depth, it's a systemic societal process that they have to go through to figure out what steps can and should be taken. Lots of times when we get a call, you know, as you know, in mental health, our only intervention tools are they have to be an actionable threat to themselves or others at that moment. You know, but now that doesn't mean that someone can't get other kinds of court order from family members for mental health evaluation or guardianship, or there's different avenues that the legal system has. They're insufficient without question, and that's what, you know, we have to begin to look at. How do we get intervention? Because these tools, the two tools that we have, and now, you know, the red flag law, the third tool, may not address some of these situations where people are acting in a very bizarre and strange manner. They clearly need, you know, some kind of help. How does society deal with that moment? How do they rise to that moment to get that person the help they need in that moment? And that's a systemic question in the mental health code within the state of Michigan, resources to have people that are in a position and knowledgeable that can make a diagnosis of what would be an appropriate next step. But, you know, we need to have mental health professionals embedded with us. You know, we can't be in silos because, you know, that terrible, terrible tragedy we had in Pontiac where the mom was out with her kids and ended up perishing. Numerous people knew she was having a mental health crisis. We actually encountered her, and she was very cogent and very forceful, saying, I don't need your help. I don't want your help. Had we had knowledge that she was in a mental health crisis, then we could have taken different steps. And that's where the silos, you know, ultimately can be very dangerous to the person that's suffering as well as other people. So that's why, you know, we've been calling for mental health professionals that are embedded with us, co-responders, so that we can get in front of these cases. And then tragically, if we can't prevent them all, and we know we can't, how do we mitigate? How do we respond with the resources to help the community that now has experienced that tragedy and the first responders that have now on a daily basis been seeing these?
We've only got a few minutes left here, and before I get to asking you about law enforcement and their issues with mental health in terms of getting the help they need as well, because I want to touch on that. If you today in your family were faced with someone that you know was having some kind of break with reality or some kind of mental health crisis, where would you turn? What would be the first call you would make, Sheriff?
You know, I would typically talk to a mental health professional to see if they have any insight into the behavior and the actions. And then the second would be a friend of mine who's in law that understands what tools in terms of, you know, taking it before a judge I would have to get that person the help and treatment they might need in that crisis moment.
And very quickly, you talked about law enforcement needing mental health as well, mental health training, mental health services. Where are we going to start with that? Is that coming from legislators?
Well, it's not enough. I had to delete a position to be able to fund within my budget, peer-to-peer, to focus on all the crisis. We know that in the last 2 years, we have huge numbers of police killed in the line of duty, but what most people don't know, 4 police officers took their own life and died in the line of duty. So we have a mental health meltdown in public safety, and we have to have peer-to-peer and support for those men and women that are dealing with this every day.
Mike Bouchard, Oakland County Sheriff, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for bringing us the information also on the splash pad tragedy that happened and the people that are struggling to get back on their feet. We really appreciate it. We'll talk again. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks so much.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the upcoming presidential debate with someone who knows an awful lot about how to debate and debate well. We'll be right back.